Thank the Lord for our youth.
And
we have one last Bible up here that one of our graduates had not yet been here to receive, and thankful she's able to be here today, and I want to present this to her. So I want to ask Miranda Kraft if she would please come up. God bless you, Miranda. God bless you. And I trust that all of you that receive them will read them and study them to the honor and the glory of the Lord. Nelson made a Bible here a few years back, and they called it the Open Bible. And when I first saw that, I thought, well, that's what every Bible should be. Every Bible needs to be open. And so thank God for His Word. I'd like to call your attention to some scripture from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. If you'd like to read along with me today in my lesson, please turn to Mark chapter 10, and I want to begin reading with verse 46 and have a fairly short scripture reading. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And with those scriptures being read from Mark chapter 10, and I have a few more here in just a moment that I would like to also share with you, I'd like to bring a message today, and I certainly want to ask the church to pray for the message that God will take it and use it today. I'd like to speak to those of you that are here today that have not been saved. And I want to use this title, and I want to ask you to please give attention to the Word of the Lord and to please ponder this thought, and that is, come to Jesus, asking and believing. In these verses that were read from Mark chapter 10, we find that blind Bartimaeus did exactly that. When he heard that Jesus was passing by, there was something that he asked of the Lord. And that was that he might receive his sight, that he might be able to see. Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That was what he asked of Jesus. And we find again in verse 52 that from what Jesus said when Bartimaeus asked this thing of the Lord, that he asked believing, because Jesus spoke of the fact that it was his faith that had made him whole. And if we look in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, I want to read two verses there, beginning with verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7, and read verse 7 and 8. And this was Jesus doing the speaking while he was here on the earth. This is a recording of some of his words. And he said, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, there's another verse that you could find if you went to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. You could find there where Jesus also said that all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And so, I believe these scriptures are sufficient, and there are many more. Perhaps we'll be able to talk about some of them in this message. But there are many places in the Bible where we are plainly taught that the things that we desire from the Lord, that we must ask and we must believe. Those things are required. You won't get anything from the Lord without asking. You won't be saved without coming to the Lord and asking. Because Jesus said it's those that ask that it will be given to. And when you come asking, you're going to have to come with total faith that the Lord not only can, but that he will save your soul. And I have a great burden on my heart today and a great desire to try to be used, if God would be willing today to use me, to try in some way to help you who are lost. And I want to say this to you, that I believe with all my heart that this church here has that same desire to try to be used of the Lord to help you if we can. And for those of you who are not saved, and those of you who have visited the altar from time to time and are still not satisfied in a Savior's love, and for all of you here today that are lost and without God, I want to be truthful with you. And in doing that, I will have to say that I don't know what's happening in your heart. I just don't have the ability to look at your heart. I don't know what might hinder you from coming to the Lord and truly asking him for his salvation and entrusting him that he will give that to you. I don't know what your mountain may be that's blocking you. I don't know what it is that may be hindering you, because you see, we are plainly taught in the Bible that man is only able to look on the outward appearance. God is able to look on the heart. But I do know this, that whatever that it is, that it is strictly between you and the Lord. It's not between you and I. It's not between you and the church. It is the condition of your soul is between you and the Lord alone. And so he's going to have to hear your plea. And God, although we don't know and we don't have the ability to look inward, God does know every heart. In fact, the Bible teaches us that God searches the heart and he tries the reins. And God is able to know what's going on in your heart. And so we have these wonderful promises from the Lord, this wonderful promise from the Lord, that for those that will ask, it will be given unto them. Now, there's something today, and the Lord, as I said, I have a burden in this way today, and there's something today that I did want to try. If I'm not able to get anything else done, there's something today that I want to try to help you and assure you to understand that if you have made attempt after attempt, perhaps have, as I said, perhaps have visited the altar time and time again, or perhaps you've called upon the Lord by your bedside, or whatever your individual situation may be, there is one thing that I want to say today, and I hope that you are well aware of this. And I would to God that you would never believe that Jesus is turning you away. Because if you look in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37, I believe it is, Jesus said, "All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and to him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." For everybody that will truly come to Jesus asking and believing, he will grant your petition to everybody. You see, the Lord made universal provision when he died on the cross for everybody. And nobody is excluded from his plan. And so please don't ever believe that the Lord would turn you away, because it is the lost condition of your soul. That's the very reason why he came. Jesus himself said concerning his mission to earth that he had come to seek and to save that which is lost. John chapter 3, verse 16, and perhaps one of the verses of the scripture that's most familiar to all of us, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus does not purpose to turn anybody away. What his will is and his desire is that everybody would come to him that they might have eternal life. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And so for those of you today that are here that are not saved, Jesus paid the ultimate price. Jesus suffered the things that he suffered. He went through the things that he went through prior to his crucifixion, when he was treated so cruelly, when he was scourged and when he was crowned with thorns, and when he went to the cross and was willingly nailed to the cross and was lifted up there between heaven and earth, suffering, shedding his blood. He was doing all of that, that people, that you and I might be able to be saved. And salvation is certainly, as I said, it's something that the Lord made possible for everybody. But it gets very personal too. The Lord made provision for everybody when he died on the cross of Calvary. He made a way for everybody to be saved. But there was a time for me in my life that if I was going to have it, if I was going to experience it, I was going to have to come to him myself. And I was going to have to come asking, like just like blind Bartimaeus asked for his sight. I was going to have to come to him asking and believing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You're certainly not going to come to a God that you don't believe even exists. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now there are two things there that are recorded in that verse that the Bible says must be believed. You must believe that God is, and you must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But then that faith has to take flight also. It's got to have wings, because in believing those things, then you have to do the diligent seeking of the Lord. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I thought about that this week, and how that there are so many things we find in the scriptures that are impossible to man. Now, lost friend, let me assure you of something today, that you cannot save yourself. You just can't do it. That's an impossibility with man. The Lord's disciples once asked him when he was talking to them about how that it was more likely that a camel would go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And they asked him the question then. They said, well, Lord, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, well, with men, this is impossible. And it is. And please don't ever allow anybody to convince you other than that, because there are people in the world today that would have you to believe that they can do something to save you. And I'm telling you, it's an impossibility. It can't be done. Man doesn't have that ability at all. So he went on to say, but with God, all things are possible. And so you cannot possibly save yourself. None of us can accomplish that. But with God, it can happen. With God, all things are possible. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we just don't receive things from the Lord until we exercise that faith that pleases God. We just don't receive his blessings. Now, everything that Jesus did, you know, if you ever, and I enjoyed being reminded again about this morning in our Sunday school lesson about what David wanted to do for the house of Saul, and how that he showed great kindness to Jonathan's lame son Mephibosheth, and I agree with what Brother Wheat said. What a wonderful picture of grace that is. But listen, what Jesus did is the ultimate picture of grace. I mean, everything that he did for us. Jesus did not come here and live in this world to benefit himself. He came here for us. The Bible says that he knew no sin, but he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Lost friend, listen today. You have got sin to your account. And unless you get forgiveness of that sin, it's going to claim your eternal soul for eternity. And you're going to have to spend eternal ages suffering the damnation of hell without being forgiven by the Lord for your sin. And he came into this world and he took our sin upon him. Jesus made atonement for our sin. He made the way that, friend, that you can be reconciled to God. And he made the only way that can happen. Don't look for salvation anyplace else, because Jesus is the only one that has it. Isaiah, one of the titles that Isaiah gave to him in his prophecy of the coming of the Messiah was that he would be called the Prince of Peace. Listen, if you want peace in your soul today, you're going to have to get it from the Prince of Peace. If you want to have peace with God, you're going to have to come to the only one that's able to give it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, he's the only one today that's got salvation. Any place else or any other direction that you ever look in, you're going to come up short. You're going to be found wanting. There are people in the world today that believe that they have found a justification with God through other means. But I want to tell you, friends, they have not found it. And you will not find it. If you're going to get to God, you're going to have to go through Jesus Christ the Lord. And you won't get there any other way. And you're going to have to come to him the way that he said, and not the way that many people have invented. You're going to have to come to God, and you're going to have to ask him. And I want to say this again, that I don't believe there's anybody. In fact, that may not even be the best way to word it. I'm convinced that nobody has ever been saved, and I'm convinced that nobody ever will be saved until they come to the Lord desiring that with all their heart above everything else in the world. And I can well remember that, the Lord helping me to get to that point where when I got saved, I reached a point by God's help that there was nothing else in all of my life that was as important to me as being saved by God's grace. And in my understanding of the scriptures, I believe that's what Jesus was talking about when he said you've got to lose your life to save it. You've just got to be willing to just give it up. You've got to give it up to the Lord. You've got to lose it to save it. And I hope and pray today that because that's the way that you've got to come asking Him. And I pray today that you will come to the Lord and that you will, that being saved will claim the attention of your heart to the point where nothing matters. Because friends, let me assure you of this, that there's nothing in this life. I don't know what's going to happen to each of us in this life. I don't know what's waiting us on tomorrow. I don't know if tomorrow's going to come. I've got a lot of uncertainties in this life. But I do know this, that there's nothing that you'll ever face in your life, no matter what happens to you, that will be as important as knowing the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Listen, there's nothing as important as your eternal soul. Nothing. You need to be saved above everything else in life. Now, I thought about a verse when I thought about people coming to the Lord and asking of Him. I thought about a verse of Scripture there in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John when Jesus stopped there at Jacob's well on His journey. And He had a conversation there with the Samaritan woman. And Jesus said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that is talking with you, you would have asked of Him and He would have given you living water. Friends, I want to tell you something today. The Lord has got something for you that nothing else can ever compare to. Those of you that are young in the flesh, I know that there's a lot of temptations in this life. I know that there is and there has been for many years now a lot of peer pressure by those around you oftentimes in that age group. There are people that will try to convince you and pressure you to go the way of the world. The devil will try to convince you that there's a lot more fun out there to be found in the world than there is to be found in the things of God. But boy, I want to tell you something today. There's nothing like that drink of living water. Jesus taught us that when we receive it, when we're saved, when we get that drink of living water, that we'll never thirst again. There'll be in us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And friends, I'll tell you what, you can have a high in the Lord and in His Spirit that you can't ever get in anything else. If you want to enjoy life, you need to enjoy it in the Lord. I'm happy. I'm happy in Him. I'm content in the Lord. If you ask me right now, and I believe there are many people here today that will tell you the same thing. If you ask me right now, and you know, we've had a lot of blessings in life. We can look around and we can see the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. But you could ask me today, Brother Miller, what's the best thing that ever happened to you? And it won't take but a second to tell you. It's that time when the Lord spoke peace to my soul. Friends, there's nothing else like it. There's nothing to compare to salvation. If you're lost today, you need to come to Jesus and you need to ask Him and you need to come asking and believing that He can and that He will save your soul, because that's what He desires to give to you. I just can't imagine how so many today have so corrupted what the Lord said about the abundant life. There are people in the world today that are trying, it seems, with all they can to convince people that the abundant life consist in things that are material. They'll never convince me of that. I don't believe it. I believe that the abundant life that Jesus was having reference to is spiritual and it's eternal. And the Lord will bless us with the things that we need along the way. But the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, listen, He didn't come to make us rich in this world. He came to make us rich in the world that is to come. Jesus came to give us that abundant life, everlasting. And thank God for it. Thank God for salvation. If you're here today and you don't have it, you need it more than you need life itself, more than you need your natural life itself. You need to be saved. But when you approach the Lord, when you ask of Him, you've got to come believing with all of your heart. You see, Romans chapter 10, I believe verse 10, says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." With the heart. Man believeth unto righteousness. And when you come that way, and I want to go over this one more time. I want you to know today and be assured by the authority of God's word and based upon God's promises that when you come that way, when you come to the Lord Jesus truly asking and believing with all your heart, He will never turn you away. He just won't do it. The Lord requires that we repent of our sins, that we turn to Him with unfeigned faith. And God sees the attitude of our heart. And when we come to Him in that way, He will absolutely grant those things to you. He'll grant you that repentance. He'll grant you that faith. He'll grant you what you need. God will give you what you need. But He knows the attitude. He knows your heart. God can see how that you come to Him. We can't. But God can see. And I can't answer all the questions. If somebody says, well, you know, what's hindering this person? Or if somebody says, what's hindering me? I don't know. I can't see your heart. But what I can tell you is that if you come all the way to Jesus and you ask and you believe with all your heart, you will receive. That's His promise. Brother Sanford, if you would, I'd like to ask you to get a song ready. Think about it, lost friend, this morning. Think about what Jesus said there to the woman at the well. If thou knewest the gift of God and Him it is that speaketh to you, you would have asked of me living water. Living water. And if you asked the Lord today for that living water and truly believe, you'll have it. You'll have it. You need to be saved. You need that more than anything else in this life. I'd like to ask the congregation to stand. If you're here today and you're lost, ask of the Lord and believe that he will give it. While we stand and sing.
44.
Hear the blessed Savior come.